ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతోజయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10th చాప్టర్ 54th ద మ్యారేజ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ రుక్మిణి టెక్స్ట్ 50. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ ఏవం భగవతా తన్వీ రామేణ ప్రతిబోధిత వైమనస్యం పరిత్యజ్య మనోబుద్ధ్యా సమాదధే. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ ఏవం భగవతా తన్వీ రామేణ ప్రతిబోధిత వైమనస్యం పరిత్యజ్య మనోబుద్ధ్యా సమాదధే. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ ఏవం భగవతా తన్వీ రామేణ ప్రతిబోధిత వైమనస్యం పరిత్యజ్య మనోబుద్ధ్యా సమాదధే. వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ. శుకదేవ్ గోస్వామి సెడ్ ఏవం దస్ భగవత బై ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ తన్వి స్లెండర్ వెస్టెడ్ రుక్మిణి రామేణ బై బలరామ్ ప్రతిబోధిత enlighten vaimanasyam her depression परित्यज्य गिविंग अप मना हर माइंड बुद्ध्या बाय इंटेलिजेंस समाधे कंपोज. ट्रांसलेशन. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus enlightened by Lord Balaram, a slender Rukmini forgot her depression and steadied her mind by spiritual intelligence. There is no purport, so we'll read the next verses. Text 51. Left with only his life heir, cast out by his enemies and deprived of his strength and bodily radiance, Rukmi could not forget how he had been disfigured. In frustration, he constructed for his residence a large city which he called Bhojakata. Text 52. Translation. Because he had promised, I will not re-enter Kundina until I have killed a wicked Krishna and brought back my younger sister. In a mood of angry frustration, Rukmi took up residence at that very place. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that the word bhoja means experience and that kata, according to Nanartha Varga dictionary, means vow. Thus Bhojakata is the place where Rukmi experienced misery as a result of his vow. Text 53. Thus defeating all the opposing kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead brought the daughter of Bhishmaka to his capital and married her according to the Vedic injunctions. O protector of the Kurus. Text 54. At that time, O king, there was a great rejoicing in all the homes of Yadupuri, whose citizens loved only Krishna, chief of the Yadus. Text 54, 55. All the men and women, full of joy and adorned with shining jewels and earrings, brought wedding presents, which they reverently offered to the exquisitely dressed groom and bride. Text 56. The city of the Vrishnis appeared most beautiful. There were tall festive columns and also archways decorated with flower garlands, cloth banners and precious gems. Arrangements of auspicious full water pots, a guru-scented incense and lamps grace every doorway. Text 57. The city streets were cleansed by the intoxicated elephants belonging to the beloved kings who were guests at the wedding. And these elephants further enhanced the beauty of the city by placing trunks of plantain and betel nut trees in all the doorways. Text 58. Those who belong to the royal families of the Kuru, Srinjaya, Kaikeya, Vidarbha, Yadu and Kunti clans joyfully met one another in the midst of the crowds of people excitedly running here and there. Text 59. The kings and their daughters were totally astonished to hear the story of Rukmini's abduction, which was being glorified in song everywhere. Text 60. Dwarka's citizens were overjoyed to see Krishna, the lord of all opulence, united with Rukmini, the goddess of fortune. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 54th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितांगेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं। नमां विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी श्रानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। सो बिफोर बिगिनिंग आई वुड लाइक टू टेक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ many senior devotees, Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, to speak on this such a exalted topic. Here we can see that Lord Balaram, he is taking some kind of role like a counselor, because now he was the brother-in-law for Rukmini. And at this time we can see that when Rukmini was chasing Lord Krishna, Krishna had taken Rukmini and he was on the way to Dwarka. And his chariot must have gone with a great speed when he came to Kondina, Vidarbha. That time his chariot driver drove the chariot so many miles in one night. So he was very fast in coming. And while going also, we cannot match the speed with what speed Krishna can return. And at one place, Srila Prabhupada gives one detail in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita we were just reading a few days before, that when this fight was going on, Krishna had stolen Rukmini and they were leaving. There was so many princes headed by Jarasandha, Shishupal, they attack. So that time Krishna was fighting and Rukmini was driving the chariot. This was not mentioned in Krishna book. And when Brahmanand Prabhu, he was reading Krishna book in presence of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada added this one detail and everyone was surprised at how Rukmini could drive the chariot. So of course Rukmini as we have seen that she was so courageous, and she is not an ordinary person like us. She is a goddess of fortune. And it may appear that externally that she is affected with grief, depression, and she is not able to understand, or she is not able to balance herself to come to a composed situation. And here Balaram is trying to give her advice. And it may appear that he is giving advice to somebody who is a conditioned soul and who gets affected by the miseries of this material world. And basically, when we forget our real identity, when we forget our real spiritual identity, then we get troubled by the dualities of this material world. Then the bodily identification develops. And if one tries to solve his problem, then sometimes one is not able to come to a proper conclusion. Therefore, we need somebody who is having higher understanding, who is in a spiritual authoritative position, to elevate our consciousness. Because the mind has a tendency to get degraded by so many demonic thoughts, unwanted thoughts, and one get depressed. And basically it is because of the bodily identification. We forget our real identity. And anything in the relation with body is temporary. It has no eternal existence. And the more one thinks about that platform, from that consciousness, material consciousness, one will get affected. Because everything in this material world is temporary. Even we may acquire a lot of wealth, strength, power, prestige, but ultimately there is a fear. There is a pain prick in the society, as Srila Prabhupada explains. And it is because of the forgetfulness of our real identity, spiritual identity. And therefore, when one is reminded of that you are not this material body, you are the spirit soul, you are eternal. The eternal spirit soul doesn't die. Somebody gives that understanding, then there is a lot of hope. Lot of positivity comes. And it is very much required. Yesterday, His Grace Shyamananda Prabhu was explaining how lamentation is the symptom of a Shudra. And how if one laments for the temporary things, he will lose the ultimate goal of life. And even this lamentation, Arjuna was overwhelmed because of the bodily identification. He was thinking that I'm going to kill so many Kauravas and everyone will die. And so Krishna first of all dispels that bodily identification, and he told, "Ashocha nanva shochastam ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾವಾದಂಶ ಭಾಸಸೆ ಗತಾಸೂನ ಗತಾಸೂಂಶ ನಾನು ಪ್ರಬಂಧತಿ ಪಂಡಿತ. That you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamenting. You are speaking very learned words. Arjuna was very learned. He knew the consequences of this fight. And he was telling Lord Krishna that if I fight, then these are the results. And so many ladies will become widows because their husbands are bent on fighting. They have assembled here to give up their bodies. They are ready to fight. For Kshatriya it is a very great victory, or it is a great honor to give up the body on the battlefield. One cannot. Kshatriya, real Kshatriya will not run away from the battlefield. If somebody challenges him, then he will definitely take up the challenge and fight, maybe till death. And Arjuna was able to see that these are the consequences. If so many ladies are unprotected, then there'll be Varna Sankara in the society. And if there is a Varna Sankara, then all the good samskaras or the final rites their descendants have to perform, they will not be performing those activities, spiritual activities, and in that way their ancestors will not get any elevation in the spiritual consciousness. And they will fall. Patanti pitru yesham lupto pindu dukakriya. So this was definitely great knowledge. Arjuna had this understanding, yes, that these are the consequences one may have to suffer. But at this time, Lord Krishna wants to give him still higher understanding. And he's telling that still you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamenting. So that's a very, very important aspect, that what is that higher understanding, what is that higher knowledge by which we have to elevate our consciousness. And that knowledge Lord Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita. At the very beginning, Lord Krishna told that you are not this material body. You are spirit soul. And this is the real understanding one should try to develop. And the spirit soul doesn't die. It is eternal. Ajo nitya shashvato yam na hanyate hanye mane sharire. It has never taken birth. It is eternal. Even the body is destroyed, the soul is not destroyed. This fundamental understanding has to be very, very clear. Then we will not lament. Otherwise, even after coming to Krishna consciousness, sometimes we get overwhelmed with a lot of material problems, so many temporary issues, management issues, and so many other interpersonal relationship with other devotees. And sometimes our ego gets hurt. Why he is doing like this, or she is doing like this, he speaks like that, and he should have communicated me with like that. So many basic understandings, right? Basic. And we keep developing so many negativities towards others. And therefore, we get entangled so much. Mind becomes dysfunctional. So much. Even one may be having lot of knowledge, but still mind is not functioning properly. So therefore higher understanding is required. And that here Balaram, in the mode of Adi Guru, the original spiritual master, he is giving this understanding. And in the earlier verses also we have seen that how he is reminding Rukmini that you are goddess of fortune. You are not ordinary personality. Sometimes we may wonder that how she has to be reminded. She is a goddess of fortune. But these activities or Krishna's pastimes are not happening on the material platform. We should not mistake that whatever is happening to Lord Krishna or Rukmini, these are also material activities. We should not think like that. These are all these activities are happening on the spiritual platform. Although it may appear that they are in the material world, but they are not affected by the three modes of material nature. And it may appear that they also, I mean, Rukmini is going through such trauma, mental depression. And in the very beginning, from the very beginning in fact, and before the marriage itself, she was going through a lot of trauma. Because her brother was very, very adamant. He wanted his sister to marry this Shishupa. And it was a big trauma for her, because she didn't want to get married to such a person. And Rukmini was not listening to his own father, Bhishmaka. And he couldn't say anything. Bhishmaka was a very simple person. He couldn't say, what can he do? The son is so strong-headed. He can't do anything. So he had to keep quiet. And in his heart he was saying, maybe it's not proper, but over all the social pressures, he could not express his feelings. And what Rukmini was going through, she didn't want to get married to this person, and the whole ceremony is arranged. The whole kingdom of Vidarbha is arranged. Everyone is ready that for the marriage. Shishupal, Jarasandha, so many princes had come, and so much security was there, because they wanted to make sure, Rukmini especially wanted to make sure that nothing goes wrong. And his plans should not fail. Because for a Kshatriya, to maintain the word is more important than death. They will do anything to maintain the word. Once Kshatriyas, they give the promise, they have to fulfill that promise. It is so important for them. Otherwise they are not Kshatriyas. Today Kshatriyas are, we cannot discuss also. So, but those, they were motivated earlier days. Kshatriyas were really, even in that level, they would be ready to maintain their words. So, Shishupal had come there with Jarasandha, and so many princes, there was so much festive atmosphere outside. And Rukmini, she knew that such kind of things she may have to go through. But she was some sort of Kshatriya in nature at this time. She exhibited various moods, of course. Kshatriya, Vaishnavi, and many moods she exhibited. And at this, before the marriage, she understood that if I keep quiet, then maybe whole life I have to keep quiet. Because there was no question of divorce in those days. Today's world, we cannot give these examples like this, that you have to be like Rukmini, it won't be accepted so easily. So she wrote one letter, and she was so intelligent. Because she knew that if she gives this letter to anybody, any person, soldier or somebody, they'll not be allowed. That person will not be allowed to enter Dwarka. Because Krishna is, the whole city is in the middle of the sea. Somebody has to take that much trouble to go. And even if he reaches that other person, then he may not be allowed to enter. Why, who are you? What do you want to do? So many questions, and securities will not allow, first of all. But she knew that Krishna is very compassionate towards Brahmanas. And she had just heard the description of Krishna. She had not seen him. There was never social media in those days. So there was no communication as such. But she had heard about Krishna's qualities. And she had given her heart to Krishna. That if I have to marry, then I'll marry only Krishna. That was her determination. And therefore she had written this letter to Brahmana, to give this letter to Brahmana to deliver it to Lord Krishna. She knew that this Brahmana is very trustworthy. He will not open the letter and read, but he will, as it is, as a postal peon, transparent via medium, just a very, very trustworthy person, she gave this letter. And he gave that letter to Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And Krishna was on different missions, as we have discussed, at Jarasandha, the attack. So many times, 17 times, Krishna defeated him. All his 23 Aukshaniya Sena's armies, he completely vanquished. Still he was hopeful. 18 times, Krishna started running. And he was thinking that yes, now he has, now they are running now. Krishna Balaram, now they have got scared of me. That was the illusory potency of Lord Krishna. Krishna bewildered Jarasandha so much. So many times he was defeated. But still, at the last time when Krishna and Balaram was running for a different mission, he was thinking, now I have conquered. Now they have run away. So I am victorious. So, Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata mudoyam na bichanati maam ajam avyam. So fools, they cannot understand me. I covered myself with my internal potency. They cannot understand that I am unborn or I am infallible. They cannot understand. So when Krishna covers somebody with such kind of illusory potency, then what is the question of understanding Krishna? Because Krishna doesn't want to reveal. And here we can see that Rukmi, he was so much envious. Shishupal Jarasandha, they were so much envious of Krishna. So therefore Krishna didn't reveal to them. Although Krishna was exhibiting his power, he was defeating them like anything. But still, they could not understand. And they were still thinking that we are Kshatriyas and he is a Vaishya. He is a coward boy. Krishna and Balaram, they are coward boys. They are lower in our social order also. Kshatriyas are superior. They are Vaishyas. They are coward boys. What they can defeat us? And we have the right to be victorious. So that was their arrogance or ego. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya explain that Krishna and Balaram cannot be understood because Kritavan Kila Karmani Saha Ramayana Keshava Ati Martyani Bhagavan Guda Kapata Manusha. That Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being. And so mass, he performed many superhuman acts. So Krishna and Balaram, although they appeared as human beings, Ati Martyani Bhagavan, Gudha Kapata Manush, they appear like ordinary mortal living beings. But they had covered themselves. They performed so many superhuman acts. At the very beginning, in Vrindavan Leela, we have heard that so many demons Lord Krishna killed, which was not possible for any ordinary child. And even for Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they thought that, yeah, maybe demigods are protecting Lord Krishna, or the Supreme Lord Vishnu is protecting us, our child. Lord Krishna had put that kind of yoga maya around Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So they could not understand his supremacy. And of course, Krishna reciprocates. Krishna relishes those rasas with his intimate devotees. So, when Rukmani at this time, when she was going through such a huge trauma, that whether Lord Krishna is going to come or not, that was also not sure. Whether the letter has reached or not, there was no means of communication at that time. But Krishna, he understood the urgency. That yes, now is the urgency. I had to immediately leave. And immediately Krishna left from Dwarka. And next day morning he was right there in the marriage ceremony. Everything was arranged and all. So many people had gathered early in the morning. So Krishna came and he was sitting amongst the princes. And of course everyone was alert. Shishupal, Rukmi, Jarasandha, they were alert. They knew that he has come and anything can go wrong. So they were alert. But when Rukmini came to worship goddess Ambika, so that time also she was guarded. There was security around so that nobody comes at that time also. And Rukmini had told exact moment at which Krishna should come in action. He should steal her or abduct her. So when she came out of that temple and just walking, she saw in the middle of the princes Lord Krishna was sitting. That was the first time she saw Lord Krishna. And she understood that he is my Lord and Master. He has come now. And Krishna came, immediately came and put her on the chariot and started driving the chariot. And all other princes, they had fallen unconscious from their horses and elephants. Because Rukmini was so beautiful. They just were looking at Rukmini. They lost their consciousness, external consciousness. They were unconscious. And that was the time Lord Krishna stole her. And when Krishna was taking her and going, that time Jarasandha, he suddenly understood that, yes, now he's taking away. And just like the lion takes the deer from the midst of the jackals, and the lion comes, all other jackals, wolves and all other animals, they just run away. He's so powerful. They just can't stand. So Krishna was very powerful, although he appeared to be like a very young boy. But his power was unparalleled. And again Jarasandha, he was looking at Krishna, that again he has come here, this boy, coward boy has come here. So they started attacking, and of course Balaram was alert that time with Yadavas, and they fought and defeated everyone. And Shishupal was depressed, you know, how Jarasandha had to give a lot of counseling to him to boost up his moral so that he again comes back and develops his fighting spirit. That was some kind of political counseling. So, but Rukmi didn't give it up, because Rukmi thought that his plans have been spoiled and he couldn't tolerate. He thought that, no, I had to again fight back. And Krishna had already gone ahead so much. He started chasing, and he could catch up with Lord Krishna. Can you imagine? Of course, Krishna allowed that. It's not that his chariot was very fast or Krishna's chariot was slow. But Krishna allowed, okay, let it be. He's chasing me. Let him come. Let us see. So sometimes it's very inconceivable how Krishna acts. And he came and he was telling Krishna, stop, stop, wait for a minute. I want to teach you a good lesson. But Krishna doesn't bother. Krishna is not worried about it. And of course Krishna's mind cannot be understood, of course. But Krishna had forgiven him. Anyway, whatever, what can we do? He's brother of my wife now. I have to be a little merciful to him. But he was very, very not ready to accept that his sister was stolen. And even on the day of marriage, that was a big insult for him. And Krishna, he was a very, very powerful person, and he showed his power, and that how even in the midst of the marriage he's so powerful, and he can, so that attracted Rukmini a lot. Actually, I mean, that's very different level. Recently there was one news that in some marriage in UP somewhere, one lion came some and the groom, he ran away. So, but somehow the people drove away that lion, and again the marriage took place. So the grooms are not so courageous to fight with the lion even in the midst of the marriage. But Krishna was not like that. He acted like a lion. So those kshatriyas in nature, they like who are kshatriyas. So of course Rukmini is not kshatriya, she is the goddess of fortune, but sometimes she exhibiting such kind of Kshatriya nature, that one who is Kshatriya, she's very much attracted. And Krishna is the real match for him. They have the eternal relationship. So, when Rukmi was challenging Krishna, he ignored a lot actually, in fact. But Rukmini was not ready to give it up. And he was shooting the arrows at Lord Krishna. So Krishna had to stop and fight with him. And Krishna first of all broke his bow. He was so many arrows he was shooting. First of all he make him armless, without weaponless. He didn't have a bow. Again he took up the another bow. Again he broke that. Again third one. Krishna kept breaking his bow. Then he broke his chariot, his horses. He was on the ground. He was picking up any weapons whichever came in his hand. He was trying to fight with Lord Krishna. Was immediately, before you could come in action, Krishna would break that weapon. And then he took the sword and started running towards Lord Krishna to kill. So Krishna also took his sword. And then he defeated Rukmi. He tied Rukmi with some cloth. And he was going to kill. But at that time, Rukmini, she became very, she couldn't control now. That my brother is going to be killed at this time, at auspicious moment. And people may think in the future that, what kind of marriage is this? That Krishna is ready to kill his own brother-in-law. And Rukmini is not going, she is not intervening in between. What is this? So, many thoughts, of course. And of course, she is showing her compassionate nature at this time. And she is pleading Lord Krishna to forgive him. That please, at this time, please don't kill him. Krishna was very angry. Definitely, he didn't want to spare him. He just want to immediately one stroke and he would have been decapitated. But of course Krishna gave him another lesson. With that sword he just shaved him half. Very disfigured him. Mustache half, beard half, shave one half in between some. It looks very awkward, right? Somebody shaves very badly sometimes. Some brahmachari, they don't shave properly. It looks quite. What has happened? Maybe sometimes they shave themselves. And it's very awkward and it's very insulting that one has to be very gentle, very particular about all these basic things. So Krishna insulted him in that way, and it was a big insult for Rukmi. Because he came with to fight and to kill Krishna. And within a few minutes he was in this position. The huge insult. Just cannot tolerate. Of course Balaram at this point is playing a very, very important role. We should know that. What kind of mediation Balaram is doing? Amazing, on the battlefield, he is doing the mediation. He is coming in between Krishna. Telling Krishna that you are not doing a proper thing. Can you imagine? The role of Balaram is so important. He is Adi Guru. He can instruct Lord Krishna. And as an elder brother, that was his mood with Lord Krishna. To protect Krishna sometimes. To chastise sometimes Lord Krishna. As an elder brother, he could do that. Balaram serves Lord Krishna in so many wonderful ways. He becomes his bed. He expands himself. And Balaram is always serving Lord Krishna. But at this time, Balaram is taking a different role to serve Lord Krishna. And he's chastising in a mood that no, this is not proper. This is not befitting our Yadava dynasty. So in that way, he somehow or other controlled Krishna. And now was the time to pacify Rukmini. And he's telling her that so many wonderful words he's telling. Because Rukmini tolerated so many things. Before the marriage, so much trauma, and after the things also. And literally she quelled her emotions. Because she wanted to get married to Krishna, and she had all these battlefield and massacre on the marriage ceremony took place because of her, and now Rukmi is just about to be killed. So that time she could not control, and she was so much depressed. So Balaram had to again tell her the basic things, very very basic things, and he was telling that it's not because of you. You should not think that you are the cause of Rukmi's insult. It is his karma. He is applying this theory of karma. Because he did wrong, so he has to get something wrong. He must have insulted somebody in the past, and now he is getting the reaction. So there is nothing wrong in that. And that way, that is one way of trying to bring somebody on the normal level, or to make things, certain things beyond our capacity to understand why these things are happening to me. This is a very good theory actually, to understand, to pacify our minds, that yes, this is because of karma. Karma plays so much important role. We might not have done something wrong to somebody in this life, but in previous lives we might have done so many insults to others, and so that reaction is coming. So we have to tolerate, and if you tolerate, and then you can make progress. But if you don't tolerate and react again, you can get implicated. And then the other level Balaram told was that this is a material consciousness. This is like a dream. Just like these are different states of our consciousness: awakening stage, the dreaming stage, Jagrata, Sapna, Sushupti, Turiya. These are different states of consciousness. And in the dream stage, when somebody is so much absorbed in the dream, he identifies that yes, I am suffering or I am enjoying. But that dream is temporary, it is not reality. And when one awakens, then one realizes, oh, it was a dream. So similarly, we are in this material consciousness, which is like a dream-like stage. We are thinking in the material platform. So much material bodily identification we are developing. But what is our real identity? That is a deep philosophy. When we are situated in our original consciousness, our Krishna consciousness, when we realize that I am not this material body, I am the spirit soul, then there will not be any cause of lamentation. So therefore Balaram is trying to give that knowledge. Yes, this is the real knowledge. That this is temporary phase. And we may have to go through that. But there is higher reality. Beyond this material temporary manifestation, there is a higher dimension, spiritual dimension, where our eternal existence is there. We have fallen in this material consciousness. And the process is there to elevate our consciousness. And human form of life is awarded to reach that platform. And when somebody absorbs his consciousness in serving Lord Krishna, at that very moment, one can get elevated to the spiritual consciousness. Then it doesn't remain material. So, what Srila Prabhupada has given in these books is not a small thing. We do not have to search anywhere else. All this great philosophy, all this understanding is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. And if we read these books very carefully, then we will see that yes, this is the spiritual consciousness. This is so elevating. Our consciousness can get so much elevated, and we can develop so much faith in doing devotional service, that this is a devotional service could be so simple. We can achieve Lord Krishna so easily. We have to just be simple and humble. And Krishna's mercy will be at, we will be able to attract Krishna's mercy through this process. And we don't have to come back again in this material world. So this is the reminder Balaram is giving, that we should not remain on the material consciousness, or we should not get affected sometimes by the so many temporary situations, and we should remain always on the higher consciousness. So later on, of course, Lord Krishna goes to Dwarka and he gets married to Rukmini, and so many Dwarkavasis, and it is explained in Krishna book that then the Maharaj also comes for this marriage ceremony. Many of Krishna's cowherd friends also come and they celebrate wonderful marriage ceremony of Rukmini and Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anybody has questions or any comments? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।